Our reading today is from the Gospel of Mark. And a large crowd followed Jesus and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. She was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she had said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt it in her body that she had been healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
Good morning. I'm Reverend Betty Bradford, and I had the blessing of being a pastor here at Highlands before Brad, and am glad that he has asked me. I always am thankful when he asks me if I'd like to bring a word to you today. If you would you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You heard Isa's beautiful reading of the woman from Mark who has the hemorrhage. This scripture is only in Mark. It's not in any of the other Gospels. And it's always been one of my very favorite scriptures. And possibly it's because it's about a woman who has suffered. And it's also about the fact that she's this instantaneously healed from all her suffering. She has had an uncontrollable blood flow for 12 years. She has had 12 years of suffering. And then comes this scene where she is in a crowd of people. She is pushing through. There's got to be people pushing in on her. And people are pushing in on Jesus all around him. And she's moving with them. She's determined. She's determined to get to him. She's not even sure why. But she pushes through the crowd, and she reaches out with her hand just to touch the hem of his robe. Did she stop and wonder, what has happened to my body? What was her mind telling her? Did she immediately feel the loss of life stop? Did she begin to doubt her experience? I've always wondered about that. And then to have Jesus know that she had reached for him, unbidden, uninvited, just because she knew that there was something there, some relief, somewhere, somehow. And then Jesus making a pronouncement that confuses the issue even more. "Daughter, go in peace and be healed of your disease, because it is your faith that has made you well." So are we to think that's all there is to healing? That suffering will cease if we only believe with all our hearts that Jesus can heal us? I now want to tell you another story of healing. Reynolds Price was a great American author. He died in 2011. He was diagnosed with a malignant tumor on his spine, and for years he suffered with pain. And this part of the story that I'm sharing is after he's been told that he has a 5% chance of losing the use of both of his legs because of the large doses of radiation it's going to take to keep him alive. "I've never known a single hour of doubt that I was made and watched over by the source of all life. But in these early stages of my illness, I was at times extremely depressed. From the moment I awoke from the operation, I felt the pain that would become my constant companion. I now had to face 5 weeks of intense radiation. A long rectangle was outlined in bold purple dye around my ugly scar, and I was told there was a risk that I might lose the use of my legs. Then on July 3rd, I had the strangest experience of my life. I awoke at daylight, alone in my house, propped up on pillows against the head of my old brass bed. No lights were on, but I was completely conscious. I'm an early riser, clear-headed from the moment my eyes click open. I was thinking naturally of the massive violence done to my body and of all the unknowns that might lie ahead. Without warning, I was suddenly no longer in my brass bed or even contained in my familiar house. It was barely dawn, and I was lying in modern street clothes by a lake I knew at once. It was the Lake of Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, in the north of Israel, the scene of Jesus' first teaching and healing. It was the same lake I'd visited the previous October, a 13-mile-long body of fish-stocked water lined with beautiful hills, trees, and small family farms. Still sleeping around me on the misty ground were a number of men in the tunics and cloaks of first-century Palestine. I soon understood, with no sense of surprise, that the men were Jesus' 12 disciples, and that he was nearby, asleep among them. So I lay on a while in the early chill, looking west to the lake to Tiberias, a small low town, and north to the fishing villages of Capernaum and Bethsaida. I saw them as they must have been in the first century, stone huts with thatch and mud roofs, low towers, the rising smoke of breakfast fires, the early light with a fine mix of tan and rose. It would be a fair day. Then one of the sleeping men woke and stood. I saw it was Jesus bound toward me. He looked much like the lean Jesus of Flemish paintings, tall with dark hair, unblemished skin, and a self-possession both natural and imposing. Again, I felt no shock or fear. All this was a normal human event. It was utterly clear and was happening as surely as any experience of my previous life. I lay and watched him walk nearer. Jesus bent and silently beckoned me to follow. I knew to shuck off my trousers and jacket, then my shirt and shorts. I followed him. He was wearing a twisted white cloth round his loins. We waded out into the cool lake water till we stood waist deep. I was in my body, but also watching myself from slightly above and behind. I could see the purple dye on my back, the long rectangle that boxed my thriving tumor. Jesus silently took up handfuls of water and poured them over my head and back till water ran down my puckered scar. Then he spoke once, "Your sins are forgiven," and turned to shore again. I came on behind him, thinking in my standard greeting fashion, "It's not my sins I'm worried about." So to Jesus' receding back, I had the gall to say, "Am I also cured?" He turned to face me, no sign of a smile, and finally said two words, "That too." He climbed from the water, not looking around, really done with me. I followed him out, and then, with no palpable seam in the texture of time or place, I was home again in my wide bed. Two stories, both about suffering, both about healing, and both about an encounter with Jesus. I know I do, and maybe you have a story of suffering, loss of life flowing from your body, emotional, spiritual, physical, maybe a tale that's never been told such as these, or never even spoken aloud. Many of us have stories of healing we can't explain, stories about a time, a moment, an unexplainable time when we felt in our body, our mind, our spirit, that we were healed of our disease. Reynolds Price shared this story many, many times, and even though he had moments when he thought himself daft, in the end, he could still remember what it felt like. Reynolds Price was offered healing by Jesus, yet he lived for years with the tumor and loss of ability. But he continued to write and live and have friends. In fact, he says that living with the tumor was the gift. The story of the woman with the hemorrhage, whose healing was instantaneous, and the experience of Reynolds Price, where he was transported to another time and place to be touched by Jesus, are certainly out of the ordinary for the most of us. And I think of it especially today, about these stories in the midst of a deadly pandemic that raised for me more questions than answers. The pain and suffering has come in ways we could not have imagined. Our lives and our world have been altered and so many places broken. And the commentators in the media keep telling me that some things may never return to the way they were. The pandemic has challenged us about what healing is. How does it happen? How do we even pray for the enormity of the healing that we need? Over 500,000 souls are gone from our grasp. They're not lost. They're never lost. But our suffering is corporate and personal. Our healing, we hope and pray, will be as well. It is Lent, and walking into the desert with Jesus has always been my favorite time of the spiritual journey. But to me, it's felt like Lent has been going on since last March. The desert journey has been long and barren. But this is a sacred time. It's a time that we set aside to wander the desert. But how do we reflect and embrace Lent in the midst of all these great challenges? One way I know, I hope you know, is that we have what our woman with the hemorrhage and Reynolds Price had, the power going forth from God. We have the healing touch of God, and this has been revealed to us through the God who really does not want us to suffer. The woman felt her healing instantly. Reynolds Price remained in pain all the years he lived, but his encounter with Jesus had healed him nonetheless. They had both had an experience of Jesus, the living Christ. It's through Jesus who bore the cross and knows our suffering and whose life is a testimony to the love of God in the darkest moments that we too can find this healing. Many years ago, I took a clergy class, and the district superintendent who was leading was asked how she could help people year after year through the loss of life, through the battles that they had endured. And she said, "I always pray for healing. There is always healing." As Jesus underwent suffering, so he understands our suffering and gives our life meaning and wholeness. Because, brothers and sisters, the cross was real and the suffering was real. The sacrament of healing is his gift to us. In our suffering, he helps us find a doorway to God. A doorway opened by Christ. And when we walk through that door, when we reach for the hem of his robe, when we walk into the lake and he pours the living waters over our pain, we will encounter our transformed selves. I know that many days we don't feel like we can walk through that door, that we don't have the energy or the desire to even reach for the hem of his clothes. We all want to walk down to the water, have Jesus pour healing waters over our wounds so we can be cured of our sorrows, of all our loss, of all our suffering. When I was a pastor, and even today, when I cannot find the strength to reach out my hand, I read other people's prayers. I have books and books of prayers. I let someone else help me find that doorway. And I was thinking, during this time of pandemic, aren't we to rely on those who are having a good day, a good spiritual day, a day of belief to carry our weary souls until we have the strength to reach out for the hem of his garment for ourselves and to also offer to others those days when we have belief and we know that someone needs our faith, our strength? Know this. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. Bidden or unbidden, God is always present. So reach out your hand. Walk down to the water's edge where God waits, so that we may all know that we are with Christ, that we are in Christ, and that we can endure. Our faith has made us well. Go in peace. Amen.